Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hi guys, welcome to Fat Mascara. It's me, Jen, all alone again. Jess is in Germany with a skincare company and like enjoying Oktoberfest, and she left me all alone, which means I'm bringing a friend. We're going to do a whole episode with my friend Andrea Laventhal, who is the style and beauty director at People Magazine, and I'm going to interview her. We'll get to know Andrea a little bit, and then she'll be my guest co-host, and we have two things we're going to talk about. First up, after we talk to Andrea, we'll talk about frizz, which is perfect right about now because it's freaking raining in New York and it's disgusting. And then our other topic, since she knows everything celebrity, we're going to talk about celebrity spokespeople and what they can and can't do for a brand. And of course, stay tuned afterward for Raise a Wand. Jess, we miss you. Come back soon. Andrea, are you ready to be a podcast co-host?
I've never been more ready for anything.
I really think that's true. In my whole, like, every time I see you, I'm like, this woman needs a podcast also.
You're like, her hair looks like crap. Get that girl a mic.
And then I'm like, she's really frizzy.
Yeah.
Perfect. You have hair for radio, as they say, right?
It's the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
You love me. Okay, so Andrea is, she's been a beauty editor for years and a style editor. And how long have you been at People Magazine?
I've been at People about 7 years.
Really?
I know.
And you've been online and print the whole time, right?
Yes. I started as the digital style director. And then about a year or so in, we got a new editor-in-chief at People. And he just said to me one day, you're going to be in charge of the magazine as well. I went in the handicap stall. I cried a little bit because I was like, that's two full-time jobs.
Is and the handicap stall better for crying?
It just gives me more room for my emotions. They take up a lot of space. People leave you alone in there.
And my favorite thing about your job is I've been lucky enough to be next to you when like a celebrity dies.
And I turned to you and I was like, Burt Reynolds is dead. Jen, dead.
She knew it before everybody else. And I feel like you get the scoop before everybody else. So you know all the celebrity, beauty, gossip and everything like that.
Yeah, we get a lot of good scoop.
So let's talk about beauty. How did you even get into this world? I know you've always been like a writer, but why beauty?
I always loved beauty products. I was very into product even as a small child. I used to play with my mom's gift with purchases, mostly Clinique. Yes. I would like collect them. I would do her makeup when I was younger. She was younger too, but she was still my mother. And her hair. I was just very into all of it. And then when I was older, I started subscribing to every single magazine. And that's when I realized there was a beauty editor job.
You're like two of my favorite things in one.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time in high school, a Sephora opened in my local mall.
Oh.
And it was just like the perfect storm.
What was your local mall?
The Short Hills Mall. Short Hills, New Jersey.
You're a Jersey girl like Jess.
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Okay, so what was your first product ever that you bought? I'll even ask with your own money. How about that?
I was thinking about this. It's either Salon Selective's leave-in conditioner at Harmon Drugstore.
Which letter were you? Remember how they had letters and colors and codes?
Oh, my God. Now you're really...
I was H because I thought it was highlighting. It was like sun in, but it really just was like color protecting.
Oh, really?
That's right. Huh. I remember.
It's either Salon Selective's or Rave hairspray for my bangs.
Did you get it in a four-pack?
I don't think my mom let me buy the four pack.
Just one at a time.
But I feel like we're dating, or I just turned myself into dust. Right? I'm like Rave hairspray.
I think Rave hairspray is still around.
I don't know.
At least it wasn't like LA Looks gel or something.
Remember Outrageous shampoo?
Or Dippity Doo.
Dippity Doo.
I'm trying to think what else was back then.
Seabreeze astringent.
That shit was just alcohol, let's be honest.
Yes, it was.
I know, but it felt so good.
I did face masks like at Slumber Party. I like loved all of that stuff. I lived, my parents called me the queen of HABA, health and beauty aids. Like when I was little, they made it up. Health and beauty aids. It's so random.
Okay, queen of HABA. It's like queen of Sheba, but.
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm not like, I don't wear a ton of makeup or anything now. I just love products.
Okay, so I have to ask you, I don't know what age you were when you got the Salon Selectives, but look at me. I'm going to try and tie in some celebrity knowledge, which I did some research before you came on. Maybe I'm going to say her name wrong, but Mackenzie Ziegler, the Dance Moms kid. She's 14. I think her sister's the more famous one.
Yeah.
Because you have to be up on like reality stars too, right?
Yes. So there's like 12,000 Duggars that we...
Do they have a beauty line?
I'm surprised they do not because they have very long hair.
They could do a hairline.
Yeah, but they're like, there's like rules with their hair and like something
and the church
with God
and stuff. And
Jesus. Yeah.
Well, the Zieglers have no problem making a buck because she's 14 and she just launched a makeup line.
Sure.
And I was like, how much does a 14-year-old know about makeup? So I was thinking, let's go back to 14-year-old Andrea because I feel like... Middle school, you is still with you. What would be in her makeup bag?
I think that's just about the time when MAC Spice Lip Liner and Exposé Lipstick and all that was starting to take off. And I think I saved money and bought that combo. And my friends and I, we each had a unique combo. We all had Spice Lip Liner, but then it was like a different lipstick. And
yeah, because when you said Exposé, I don't know that color.
That was kind of shimmery. I don't even think that was mine. I think I just took that from my friend. So I think that's one I wanted to have, but she was a little Regina George about it, that she owns that combo. Anyway, I digress. I think it would have been a brown lipstick moment. We were very into pressed powder and brown lipstick.
Why were we?
I don't know. The fear of shine was big back in...
I guess I was oilier back then too, but I just feel like pressed powder...
We didn't know about like dewiness and highlight and glow. Those were like bad words.
Yeah. Now they're good words.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of products that like weren't and now they are or the other way around, we see so much product in our job, right? Like every day there's a new package. Right now, is there anything that you're just like, why does this beauty product exist?
This is such a good question. I really, really gave this a lot of thought because you don't want to offend a product, let alone a product maker. But I have to say, I have never gotten behind color correcting makeup, concealers, primers.
Oh.
What woman is going to the store or the department store and coming home with a lavender or a green concealer and going home and being like, let me color correct my ruddiness, my sallowness, my under eye circles, my zits with green? Like, it just, it seems like a good idea when we write about it.
Yeah, because color theory, because, you know.
And the colors are pretty. Let's be honest. They look good on a page.
That, you know, that's true because you put like a beige or brown concealer, boring.
Boring.
But like
peach
and green.
Purple and green. It's like, what is that? I just feel like it's not realistic and it's honestly, it's not necessary in everyday life. I don't know.
I guess we also never stop to think, wait, if concealer is doing its job, do you even need these products?
I understand to an extent some of the peach color correctiveness on really bad under eye circles. But again, I'm just using one concealer in the morning. And if that's not working, then like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm so sorry.
You look a little bit better at least.
Yeah, it's just like I'm not layering on peach.
Okay. I kind of agree with you.
I know. It's tough. And I'm like, oh, now everybody's going to be like, how dare you?
No, because I'm very ruddy. Like, I get rosacea. So they always are like, try the green one. It neutralizes. I'm like, well, I'm also olive. So now I just look like even greener. Thanks.
Yeah. Now you're like sickly looking. I don't know. I know the kids say something like, don't at me, but don't at me.
Oh, I don't know what that saying means.
Yeah, don't at me on this one. Okay. I don't care if you love your color correcting
like,
concealer.
As in, I shouldn't direct message you directly with my...
With
editorial
your
viewpoint. Okay.
Like I once tweeted and Instagrammed about my hatred of Top Sheets and like the response and the ads on Top Sheets.
Wait, have we never talked about this?
Apparently not. Shit, did I just walk into it
again? I have never used a Top Sheet.
Thank God. I was so worried you were going to be a Top Sheet supporter.
No, and I recently got engaged, and an early sticking point in our relationship was like, what the hell is the point of the Top Sheet?
Men often have a Top
Sheet. Why did they do that?
Because their moms had Top Sheets, so they had no different.
It gets all twisted up. Like,
whereas we're empowered to make our own decisions as women, and we just know that if it's not necessary, we're okay getting
You either want a blanket or a duvet, or like you don't
need to. You should see the messages I have in support of Top Sheets. It's like the Top Sheet lobbyists are out there working harder than you even know.
They really don't. They at you all the time.
Yeah. I still get it.
I also think it's a thing about maybe you just don't wash your blanket or your duvet or comforter, so you think you need that Top Sheet layer in between.
Yeah, I think people say that, well, how often do you wash your duvet? And then I'm like, how dare you? Mind your own business.
How often do you wash it?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it, but probably not as much as I'm supposed to. And, you know, we all have things.
This is why we are not home editors and we are beauty editors instead. Okay. Let's think more positively. We don't need color correctors, maybe, but what do we need? That's my next question. Like, what are some of your favorite products?
Oh, gosh. So, isn't it funny that when you test so much, you forget what your absolute favorites that you use all the time?
Like, but what would you pay for, Andrea?
Oh, nothing. I am at this point, I am like, where's the toothpaste in the beauty closet? Where's the deodorant?
You're not going to go for like some charcoal coconut toothpaste just because that's...
No. I will use my CVS coupon if I have to on some Sensodyne.
Okay.
But I have been using Kopari for a long time. Honestly, it doesn't have any... special fancy ingredients like anti-aging ingredients in it. I like the moisturizer. I like the face toner. I like the face cleansing face oil. It's like in my skincare cabinet all the time. Huh. I even use the jar of coconut oil on my body. Like it just happened and I liked it and I got used to it. So I've been like replenishing.
Okay.
Drunk Elephant I think is great. I think they make great products.
And like nice packaging. You're not embarrassed to buy it.
No, I think it's really nice. Would I spend over $100 on a face serum?
Their face oil is like pretty expensive.
Yeah,
right?
Probably I wouldn't because I'm cheap, but I do think it's excellent and I recommend it to all of my rich friends. I'm always like, use that.
Are you rich? Try this.
Yeah. If I know that the person has money to spend, I will recommend that. If I think that that's a stretch for them and they're going to feel bad that they can't or they don't want to spend it on that, I'll try and recommend something at a drugstore that I think is great.
Is Kopari – I know Drunk Elephant's like prestige. Is Kopari also?
It's not as expensive. It's at Sephora, but it's not as expensive. I love It Cosmetics Bye Bye Foundation.
Good stuff.
I mean, it covers like foundation.
Yeah, so you don't need color corrector.
Exactly. It just does everything I need it to do at one time.
Yeah.
You know what the best concealer is? Hands down, Maybelline – Age Rewind with the little foam.
It's like a little ball spongy top. I think I've talked about it on the podcast. It took me by surprise.
It is so good.
It's very blendable. It's almost, yeah.
You can, if you stipple? If you pat it, tap it on a zit, it really covers it. Like that stuff works. It's supposed to be like for under eye circles, but I use it all over my face.
I know they're like age rewind, but we're like, cool. Now we have under eye circles and pimples.
Yeah. Oh, I have everything.
Being an adult woman now.
Speaking of Maybelline, I do like full and soft mascara. Everyone sleeps on full and soft. It's like a very old school.
We shouldn't sleep on it.
It's been around forever. It's, I hate describing it this way, but it's the only way to describe it. It's very wet mascara.
Okay. It's wet.
It's wet.
You shouldn't say moist.
It gives you a glossy lash and you can layer and layer and layer. I mean, there's fancier ones I like Charlotte Tilbury makes great mascaras and whatever, but I always, if I was buying Maybelline Full and Soft.
But how is it different than Great Lash?
Oh, Great Lash doesn't do anything. The Great Lash brush is like, covers like one of my lashes.
You need the...
Full and Soft has a bigger brush. It's like a teddy brush, I guess. It reminds me of a smaller Dior show.
Okay, a teddy brush. I've not heard that. The show is called Fat Mascara.
Did I make that up?
I kind of love it. It's like more plush. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's adorable. I like that.
I wonder if I made that up.
I don't know.
TM trademark.
I mean, everything has, there's like the beaver tail lip gloss applicator. That's like the spatula kind. The doe foot, which is a deer. So like maybe teddy bear brush is a thing.
Teddy brush. I don't know.
I like it. Okay, I'm going to try full and soft.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about treatments for a second. Mm-hmm. We get invited to do all sorts of weird things to our bodies. It's just part of the job.
Yep.
What's like one that you've had that was particularly memorable, either good or bad?
Okay, so Bliss Spa, one of the best spas in New York City, you know, one of the first to really understand marketing and branding and all that stuff, had amazing treatments, except for one. probably in the early aughts, my friend did PR for them, and she was I was doing a story, and I needed something with, I think it was like food, like a winter skin treatment that you could recreate at home, so it needed to have food. I mean, welcome to being a beauty editor.
Yes.
And so she was like, oh, we have this new milk and honey
okay.
body wrap treatment. And I was like, milk and honey sounds nice. And then I don't know if I knew there were carrots involved or not. Neither here nor there. Next thing I know, they are shredding carrots
Stop.
On top of me. It was like a, it was like an SNL skit. Pouring a gallon of milk and then like just like, I don't know, dripping honey. They wrap you in a foil blanket and leave you to like
a Waldorf salad. Or
yeah, like, they like leave you like to marinate in like a burrito in the foil blanket. And she's like, I'll be back shortly.
You had milk in there, honey in there, and shredded carrot.
It was like a joke.
Do you think they made it up because they knew you needed like something for a story?
No, so I
like they sold
I wanted to fact check because we are editors. And we have journalistic integrity. And I went today and I did a search and you can find info about this treatment. I don't think they still have it. If they do, some people might like it. I highly doubt it.
Can I just ask, when she was doing the carrot, was like it a pre-shredded carrot or did she get out the shredder to shred it onto you?
It's a really good question. I think I blacked out for the shredding. I just remember bits of carrot stuck to me and the honey wouldn't come off and it just didn't go, like none of it was like seamless. And then you're supposed to shower off or something and they buff you.
You're like, if I'm spending all this money, I don't want someone to make a salad on me. Like, give me
it
like
was bizarre.
Like retinol all over and like a
freaking carrots shredded. Who wants shredded carrots by nature are just unnecessary, let alone on your body stuck to you in places. You know, I'm not wearing any. I think I was wearing the disposable underwear. Yeah. But when she left.
It's getting even grosser.
And I'm just like marinating in this warm milk and laying there. I started to get like really hot. And like anxious.
Yes.
And I'm like, when is she coming back? You know, when they leave you, you're like, just come back and rub my feet or my head or my hands.
I'm all alone with my thoughts and I don't want to be.
Yeah, make me breathe. And like, I'll pretend to be spiritual and like, I'll be in on it if you stay with me.
Yeah.
She left for like ever. And I was like damp and it wasn't warm anymore. And then you're like laying in the foil and then they unwrap you and you're like,
It sounds so horrible. I'm so sorry that you did that for your job.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, good times.
But they had those brownies at Bliss back then. So it was all worth it. They had the fat girl, not the fat girl.
That's
their fat witch baby brownies. They served them with cucumbers
and
cheese.
They were very trendy then, I remember.
Yeah, they were. I mean, Bliss was so good.
Yeah.
So
Marcia has been on the Marcia Kilgore, who started that brand, is no longer with it. She's been on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'll relay the message that you didn't like the carrots.
I don't think she was with them at that time.
That might be
the
problem.
If she was, I don't care.
She was like, no carrots.
No.
Okay, so let's talk celebrities a little bit too, because being at People, that's like your bread and butter, really.
Mm-hmm.
You get to interview them a lot, right?
I do.
Is it always associated with a beauty launch, or do you sometimes do celebrity interviews independent of that?
Mostly it has to do with beauty and style because I cover style as well. And a lot of celebrities now have athletic lines, athleisure.
Yeah, between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's like.
But once in a while I'll be dispatched. Maybe it's a reality TV star because I watch a lot of reality TV.
Yes.
When I did Julia Roberts, like very not, you know, she's like an up and coming actress.
Is it Julia? Julia, you said?
Yeah. Maybe Juliet. I can't remember. Right, I'm going to look it up after. But that was for World's Most Beautiful. And they brought me in to do like the style and beauty portion.
Okay.
But I felt like it was just me, her, in an interview.
Wait, People's franchise is now called World's Most Beautiful?
It was at the time World's Most Beautiful Woman. We're the beautiful issue now. So we don't
so that's like less superlative.
That was an evolution. It took me a minute to wake up.
2018.
I was one of the more vocal people about that. You know me, I'm never one to be quiet about my dissatisfaction with anything, let it be, you know, whether it's shredded carrots on my body or the snacks at a beauty event. I will always share my opinion. And I was just like, look, I don't want to be the world's most beautiful woman, even if I was. I feel like uncomfortable with that. That's a lot to put on a woman. And how is she going to be fun and celebrate it without getting ripped apart?
Yeah. It's so, not like a celebrity, like, great, I'm so psyched to be voted this. Her publicist made her take the award, and now she's like, oh,
whoever
my God.
Gets it usually gets, like, completely slammed over it. I mean, they hate The Sexiest Man Alive, too. They're always mad at us that it's not Ryan Gosling.
Because, like,
do you think Ryan Gosling wants to be the sexiest man? Like, if we called him, do you think he's like, I've been waiting?
I don't think people realize that it is both a award and a discussion between you and the team of the celebrity as to who would like to
participate. You want somebody who's excited to receive it and is going to be part of it as opposed to somebody who's going to run and hide.
Yeah.
So, anyway, with this year... With the beautiful issue, it was definitely an evolution of what should this be. And we had Pink and her daughter.
Oh, love her. And you got to interview
Julia the year before we made this
decision.
Got it.
So of all these celebrity interviews that you've done over the years and interactions that you've had with celebrities, mm-hmm. any memorable ones stand out?
Yes.
Tell me.
Diddy. Have you ever interviewed Diddy?
No. How was it?
So he's released a few fragrances in
time. Right.
And both times that I've interviewed him about fragrances, I have left like lightheaded, dizzy, and humiliated.
Because there's so much weed in the air?
No.
Oh, because that's happened to me at interviews, but.
That's, I mean, I would have taken that over the public humiliation. I mean,
What happened?
Well, the more recent time was his 3 a.m. fragrance based on the idea that things that happen at 3 a.m. I was like, I wouldn't know. But he was really, really mad that I hadn't seen his Downton Abbey parody on College Humor, Funny or Die.
Okay, what year is this?
So this was probably 4 years ago.
Okay.
So he stopped the interview and made me watch it.
Oh, my God.
He was also – I mean, I swear I did my research. I did my beauty research. Yeah. I researched all of his fragrances.
We're not doing a magazine cover profile,
well,
Sean.
Well, he was also really mad that I didn't know about his Oscar win. Did you know he's an Oscar winner? Exactly.
For a song? Producing? Look at you. Didn't do your research. Stop the interview.
Right. And it was like – it was not good.
Oh, so he got like a little –
pissy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if he was joking with some stuff because he was so serious and I'm so not. He wasn't.
And you just like felt disrespected and the interview was like, this is not recoverable?
Yeah, it was just so awkward. Ugh, and
it's the worst.
You know, I had to watch his video and
I like that
I just feel like he was pissed.
Right, but I think it's hilarious that he was like, okay, not moving on. We're going to stop right now so you can watch and then we can talk about it.
And I at one point – he's with Cassie, the singer.
Oh yeah.
Not in the interview, but in real life. And I don't know if I was trying to connect about like what their real life is versus this 3 a.m. persona. The video he made, like the promotional video for the fragrance, was her naked and it was like very sexy. And I was like, you know, are you guys ever like just home watching TV, like defrosting chicken? And he was like, defrosting chicken? And I was like, oh, fuck.
Wrong audience.
And I was like, you have beautiful earrings. You had huge diamonds. They look like headlights. Like, it wasn't one of my finer moments.
I'm pretty chicken. Sure he has people to make him fresh chicken.
Yeah, he doesn't need to defrost. Like, in the morning, Cassie's like, honey, should I defrost some chicken? He's like, I guess we can always just, like, put it in the fridge. Like, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Your Diddy interview didn't go well.
Yeah.
Also, he made a fragrance called 3 a.m., so.
The first one was Unforgivable. I guess that's how I was to him in our interview.
You might also be unforgettable.
I wrote about it on People. I have to see if the link is still somewhere, but I wrote about it.
If it is, we're putting it on the blog right now. You guys will know what really happened during that interview.
I posted a picture on my Instagram of the two of us, and I'm smiling this big smile, and he literally looks like he's going to kill me, and it's real. Like, the emotions were real.
Okay. Yeah. So now we know what went on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me one more behind the scenes thing before we wrap up and do, like, the official, like, topics. Tell me what it's like on an awards night working for People. Because I imagine, like, at the New York Times, Kavanaugh is under, you know, he's getting all sorts of accusations and everybody's on deck all night mm-hmm. long. But, like, for you, an awards night is that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. So
what happens?
It starts and ends with the candy. I'm not even going to lie. I – like have to keep my team and myself fueled and ready to go. And the most exciting thing about award show night is the candy selection. And I go to Duane Reade.
Oh, so you're in the office. You're not.
Oh, yeah. So if I'm not on the red carpet, which I do some red carpets, but most of the award shows, I'm in the office. And if it's on a Sunday night, as most of them are, we come into the office between 4 and 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. You like cut your Sunday short. Mm-hmm. You come into the office, everyone's like, hey.
And you're like, I have candy from Duane Reade.
And I'm like, you guys. And I, you know, we have like the sour and sweet ratio and chocolate, and there's mm-hmm. Sour Patch Kids and watermelons and Twizzlers and all that. We all talk about what we're getting for dinner. But you have to order, you have to like go get your dinner before 6.
I like that this is not at all about like making sure your Rolodex of hairdressers and
no,
the candy and the food. Okay,
because
continue.
Because you can only take like minimal water and food breaks at like, once the carpet's going, it's going. So everything has to be set.
What are you watching like E and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, so we watch E. Different people in different offices will watch like maybe a different red carpet and transcribe it. We have a war room. It's just a conference room with all the writers, but we don't sit. The style team just sits together because red carpet style is its own beast, and we don't want there to be too much conversation overlap between like quotes or couples.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Or like winners. We're like focused on what we're doing. And before you know it, it's midnight. And the next thing you know, it's like 1 a.m.
And you're compiling, like, trying to quickly find out who did whose hair and makeup, who's wearing what dress, that
yes.
kind of stuff?
So a lot of times we have pre-set interviews with stylists, both style, like style stylists, and then hair and makeup people. And we know who they're doing in advance. And we'll either get email quotes from them, or we'll set up very brief email interviews or phoners that night. So sometimes we'll get a heads up. And we'll already have something set up. But we don't know what the look is
right.
until we see it. And a lot of times the fashion brands are very hesitant to send out a press release because until literally the photos are out. Because there have been times, I think it was Anne Hathaway at the Oscars, where they send out the Valentino dress and she ended up wearing a Prada one instead. Like, you never want that to happen.
Because they have multiple options,
yeah.
right?
And they
yeah.
can always go with a backup. So we wait for those to come in, and because we don't want to get it wrong and guess, even though we know that we saw that on the Armani runway, you sometimes want to wait.
But it's like People. So I feel like I use you as like a resource, so it cannot be
wrong. I always say,
wrong.
When I didn't work at People, I fact-checked against
with People.
People.
Yeah.
So yeah, we still try to maintain that, and it's hard, especially the amount of content you have to crank out. So we do both print and digital. So two of us maybe are working
on...
Oh,
yeah, you're weekly still, right?
Yes. So two of us are working on maybe the best dress spread, like for Emmys. We were just working on it. And then the rest of the team is frantically putting together all the digital content. And it can be anywhere from 50 to 100 plus pieces of content, from pre-writes, like, you know, walk-up we call it, all the way till the day after. So depending on the size of the show and the amount of celebrities there, it just goes on and on. Just when you think you're done, the friggin' after parties start and everyone changes.
Oh, they have a new outfit.
And then we have to do an after party gallery, see the dresses.
Yes, you do, because I depend on it,
yeah.
God damn it.
But it's exhausting. And, you know, you want to get the spread of people best dressed in print right. But there's so many little limitations that people don't think of. So they're like, how could you not put Mandy Moore, for example, in the Emmys Best Dressed? Of course I wanted Mandy Moore. But the movies team or the TV team was running Emmys. They got her for the beginning.
And you can't have the same celebrity in everybody's
yeah,
story.
Yeah, it's repeating. And it's like, so we all fight over who gets who where.
Yeah.
Even internally on the team, I'm like, why is so-and-so on the Best Dressed digital list? And someone's like, I love her. I'm like, well, you have no eyes. And like, I didn't know you were blind when I hired you. So no, I never say that, but that's what I think in my head. I'm like, oh, your taste is horrific.
How many people work for you on this beauty and style team?
Well, the number
minus one, the one who just quit.
Number keeps going down. thanks to publishing. Thanks everyone for buying all those magazines. Right now we're probably have like 8 people who report.
But you're weekly. So
weekly and digital.
Got it. One last question about this thing. So if it's on a Sunday night, like when does People's weekly issue close?
We close on Mondays.
So it truly is like you better put together this whole story
yeah.
in
so
one day.
So the Emmys were on Monday night.
Oh, shit. They changed it this year.
It's great because it doesn't ruin your Sunday.
Yeah.
But oh my God. But sometimes it's better to just have that night to put it together.
You can't guess about it.
You don't futz. You just like, you got to get it done because eventually it has to go to the printer and you have to be done at some point. Now, I had to come back early the next day I shot an Emmys recap video for our People TV network, which is our OTT network. So it's like it never ends. The content.
You're like multi-platform, woman.
Multi-platform. It's...
This is why she doesn't have a podcast yet, because she's
I just don't know when.
Busy woman.
Would you listen to it from my bedroom at 6 a.m.?
Probably I would.
Yeah.
But...
Well, this morning it would have been that my son's shit on my duvet.
He pooped on your duvet?
Yeah, he pooped on my duvet.
I mean, he's 14 now.
I know. I'm just kidding.
How old's your son? I'm sorry.
It's not two yet, but
okay,
whatever. Doesn't matter.
Should we end on that glamorous note?
And on that note, thanks for having me.
No, we're going to keep talking, but that was a great look at what it's like to be, what is it, style and beauty director at People. Thanks, Andrea.
It's exhausting. It's fun.
Sometimes.
Thank God for the Kardashians. That's all I have to say. The gifts that keep on giving.
Bless them.
Bless them.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Now that you guys know Andrea and love her as much as I do, she's going to play Jess Matlin for the day.
Oh, that's such a hard role. She's so cool.
You're so cool, too.
And her hair's so thick.
And probably frizzy at times, which is what we wanted to talk about, right? See how I transition? You like that?
That was really good.
That's what podcast hosts do.
Yeah, that was really good.
No, so the topic at hand here is frizz. And I know people are like, oh, it's not summer, so who cares? I'm sorry. It's a 365 issue for a lot of women. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I have textured hair and I'm embracing it. I'm talking about whether your hair is curly, straight, whatever. There's always like the flyaway stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
So, God.
Do you have curly or straight hair? Because I never know with you.
It's curly. It's like cotton candy curly. It's fluffy.
Oh, fluffy.
Everybody
like Gilda Radner, which is a dated reference, but
I don't know because I rarely see my real hair anymore, color or texture. But everyone thinks I have really thick hair. I don't. I have very fine hair. I have a good amount, although having children will ruin that for you several times over. But I don't know if you can see under here, but there's like, oh, I probably curled.
Oh, is that your natural?
But like, I have really wrigglety curls underneath,
and like at the nape.
Yes, and then on top because the hair is so damaged, they're like it's like just frizz. So this particular spring was so bad with rain and the humidity that I caved and I did a keratin.
Oh, you did?
Probably for the first time in 5 years. because the very first time I did it was when they came out and you had to wear like a full-on gas mask and like the you and the stylist, and
yeah,
you couldn't wash your hair for 3 days or put it back or dent it. And to steal a line from the very brilliant Amber Katz, I looked like Axl Rose. I mean, I looked like my hair was wet spaghetti.
For 3 days.
Oh, forever. Like it ruined.
It just takes all the texture out.
It was so straight.
That was like the 1.0 Brazilian.
Right. So I was very nervous to do it again. I did it a few years later. I did Cezanne, was like the evolved version. But here's the thing. Everyone says now, oh, my formula doesn't have formaldehyde.
Yeah.
And I actually did research for this most recent iteration. Here's the thing. If it's going to break the bond of your hair and restructure it to be smooth, it's got to have something.
Yeah, you're breaking like a hydrogen bond, I believe it is.
We're doing chemistry.
And yeah.
So when I did this version, I went back and forth with the poor publicist who, unwilling, she just sent me a pitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, interesting timing. I've actually been thinking about doing keratin, but I need to know that it's no formaldehyde. I want to retain some texture because I'd rather a little frizz than spaghetti hair.
Right.
And I'm sure I had like 16 other questions. And basically, they kept trying to say there's no formaldehyde. So I was like, well, what about formaldehyde-releasing ingredients?
Yeah, once the heat happens, that's when sometimes the chemical reaction happens.
And here's the thing. At the end of the day, don't be fooled. Even though they assured me that it was safe, the minute the stuff was out of the jar, my eyes started watering. They put the fan on and everybody else in the room was okay. But your eyes don't react like that to nature.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So like
– there was a chemical like
– And chemicals are happening. Organic. Remember that too. So yes, my hair was smoother. When it sees heat now, it doesn't even have to be touchy. It does go like a little lank from
interesting. Which brand – was there a brand or it was
– it's a guy named Arnav Gustav? That doesn't sound right.
We could check this and put it on the blog for people.
It's he did a good job. It's his own. He's making his own proprietary.
Exactly.
He was really nice to like go through and really answer all of my questions. But still, and he had every version there. He was like, I have women who are like pour chemicals on my head. I don't care if my scalp burns.
So he'll like strengthen it if you want
more. Yeah, he'll do whatever you want. But I still think we have a long way to go with keratin.
Yeah.
Price, formula, technique. I mean, he was great about customizing it and not putting the heat on too high, but I still have frizz.
So keratin is obviously an option for a lot of women. I know that. Or, you know, relaxing it still or those kind of things. But say you just want your regular texture and you just want it to have like a wave shape or a curl shape or even a straight shape without the extra flyaways. What are your like products of choice? Do you have any
curling
tips?
Iron. That's how I saved my
– It feels like it's like an anti- – like it feels
– I know. It feels wrong. So basically what I do is I let my hair air dry like in its crazy state.
Okay.
I get to my office. Now I realize not everybody can do this, but when you're a beauty editor, listen, this is something good about your job. I keep my Mika wand plugged in off. I'm very good about that. And then while I'm drinking my coffee and reading the news in the morning, I curl my hair. It takes
– Do you just do the top layer or do you do the whole thing?
Yeah, I do the top layer so the bottom's kind of crazy. And then like the neck – I sleep in a scrunchie.
Okay.
In a pony or I wrap it in a bun. This is my
– But do you need any – I see that. Yeah. Do you need any product though or you just go right on to dry hair with your curling wand?
Sometimes I put some curl cream first. I know you guys have talked about curl cream or even a gel cream. Sometimes you need a little hold.
Onto your dry hair, you'll put a little bit.
Put a little bit.
Damp before you air dry.
And then I use more after. I'll use hairspray. I'm back to hairspray.
Is it the hairspray?
Yeah, I love my rave. Hairspray creates a full shield between the humidity and your hair. So on really bad days, I mean, I don't understand hair oil and anything that like attracts moisture. I know it's supposed to keep it out, but it just makes my hair too soft. I need crunch.
Yeah, I feel like they always tell, like a lot of experts will tell us, your hair is frizzing because it doesn't have enough moisture in the strand, so it's attracting moisture from the air. And I was like, I could have done like a deep conditioning mask the night before and be soaked in oil, and it will still puff out.
It looks even puffier. It's like fluffy and soft.
And they're like, oh, it's because it's damaged. I was like, I really don't have damaged hair. It's gray hair, so it's coarser, but like it's just frizzy.
Mine's very damaged, and it doesn't matter what kind of hydration situation's going on.
What is your hairspray or curl cream of choice these days?
I like IGK or IKG. I'm having a little...
IGK, I think it is. I don't know. What
Rich Girl coconut oil.
Their names are so good.
Yeah, that one's really good. Sometimes I like a mousse. Okay. I'm really experimenting. I'm not loyal to one hair product. By the way, it's Arsen, A-R-S-E-N.
Oh, is that the name of the...
Gorgov, G-U-R-G-O-V.
Arsen Gorgov gave you Gorgov. a keratin treatment. I thought you were about to tell me that a celebrity died. She was on her phone and I was like...
I was like, Burt Reynolds died again.
He came back and then he died again.
No, every alert I keep getting is about Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin.
Oh, but they're already married, so who cares?
Yeah, but it's like wedding and when's the wedding. And so there's a lot of celebrity wedding stuff coming up. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people got engaged this summer, so that makes sense.
Yeah, there's some weddings coming up.
Okay, well, this drops on Friday, so if you heard it here, just know that Andrea knew before
you. Might be something
you.
This weekend. We'll see.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
So, Andrea, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was celebrity spokespeople.
Better than influencers.
What? Okay. Okay.
Where did that just come from?
Did you just say that? Lovely.
No, I don't know.
But here's the thing. It's been happening for the last 20 years at least, I want to say, and longer than that, where beauty brands, they want to market to people. They want to get known. They sign on a celebrity spokesperson, and they get all the good and bad that comes with it. And that sort of relationship, like, has changed over the last 6 months, I feel like it's changed. How does it affect your job? Is like, you're trying to pick products, and then you want to talk about a celebrity, but then she's the face of whatever brand, and you're like, God damn it, I can't talk about anything because I'm allowed to write about is this. How does that work?
Brands are getting savvier in terms of working with us to still create a page that has some diverse product offering.
Yeah.
So we have a page, 7 products I can't live without. Well, if all 7 of them are Neutrogena, like we just did a beautiful one with Kerry Washington.
She's a Neutrogena spokesperson.
Yeah, and she's like really involved. So she's very passionate about several of their products. But that's an ad, frankly, to do all 7.
Yeah.
So we balance it. We say, look, she can have, I think it was 2. And it felt fair and it felt authentic because she was passionate about these 2 products. But the rest cannot be Neutrogena. And they got it. And that's what it is for all of those types of interviews with us.
Don't you think your readers like realize that too? Are they savvy? Like,
we don't know.
You're not sure.
I don't know. I think they think everything's an ad. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think they just think our edit is an ad. I think they get confused. And then maybe I'm not giving them enough credit. I think some know exactly what's going on.
True.
So we try to make it just as good as possible.
And do you think that this model of business is going to continue on for the next 10, 20 years? It's become like standard operating procedure. You have a big brand. They want to make a splash in the United States. They sign on a celebrity. Do you think they're always getting their money's worth? And do you have any idea how much money they're getting?
They're definitely not getting their money's worth.
Really?
I don't think so. I think that there's been we've been doing this for many years. And I just think that we've seen really good examples of celebrity partnership.
One?
You know, I really loved Tresemme and Chrissy Teigen. And I'll tell you why. Chrissy Teigen has built her audience built her brand based on no bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
She's authentic. She is very real with her fans. And I actually believe that while she was their spokesperson, they sent her a case of that conditioner first, shampoo second. Whether she used it in the right order or not, I believe it was in her shower and it was used.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she wants to present herself as someone who just signs on to anything. And I even remember seeing her tweet being like, I use that shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you get with a Chrissy Teigen. So she was a good example because I felt like there was a real legitimacy there.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of celebrities who they read off a press release. I had a situation a few years ago, full A-list celebrity, huge contract with a giant skincare brand. We were supposed to do a page with her, very difficult with the PR, and she answered the questions with the full technical name of every product.
Was this email or phone?
Phone, with her publicist on the phone.
Okay.
Even the questions that were like, what's your skincare secret? Like,
I love a hyaluronic acid filler sphere.
Yes. So instead of being, I was like, you know, applicate, like trying to move her away from just saying product names, she absolutely would not veer. It was the most awkward, horrible experience. And then I tried to get some fun stuff, totally approved. It was nothing like, I didn't ask about her personal life. I'm not an idiot. Her publicist annihilated me on the phone. And then the skincare publicist was also on the line because, of course, you need four people to do an interview.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
And afterwards, I was like, I've never been so humiliated in an interview. What was that? Why are you paying this woman? You don't need her. Your skincare products are great without her.
Yeah.
She did nothing for you there. And in fact, we can't get a full page out of that.
I've had that happen too, where you do the interview and you're like, I actually can't use this. Like, there's nothing of value here.
I mean, how about...
Was this woman in the ads for the brand as well?
Yes,
I mean, okay, you're
getting
a face.
They have since moved away from using celebs, and I think it was a great decision for them. They're much more science-based now, that's all I'll say. But I interviewed, I think I can say this, Kendall Jenner a few times. And each time she told me she doesn't really like to wear makeup.
Okay.
And her best beauty tip was not to touch her face. She said it in every single interview. And they paying her so much money to wear all the makeup and talk. And she just couldn't. She was so young.
But that's the thing. Now that the whole relationship has changed, they want the person to be available for media, to be tweeting about it, to do an Instagram about it, whatever. And back in the day, it could be just like, oh, well, you're the face of Estee
Lauder. I think
you
have to be one or the other.
Right. Like, it's either you're a model, you're gorgeous. Like, I don't know if Gigi Hadid uses Maybelline, but, like, you look damn good in the ads.
And I feel like she's into being a Maybelline face.
And she actually, frankly, seems like she likes makeup and everything. Maybe that's a bad example. But, like, yeah, back in the day, you were just the face of it, and that was okay. And now they're like, I'm an activist. I'm a spokesperson. There was one that was a chief storyteller. And I was just like,
me too. I want that.
I
want
to be
that
a
name.
Chief storyteller.
It's very difficult because I feel like these brands pay so much money.
Do you have any idea what
it entails? I feel like we could find out.
We were making guesses about like Kate Moss. Like, if you want Kate Moss as the face of, I think she just signed with Decorte. And we were like, what do you think it costs? Like, I don't know, listeners, so don't think I'm not telling you. And I was like, 10 million? I don't even know.
I have no idea either, but I know they should get a lot for that money. And I don't know. There's so many people, I just don't buy it. There was an influencer, she's a very powerful influencer who signed on with a major hair care brand and did a campaign. And I was like, there's no way that girl has ever, A, blown out her own hair, and B, if she does wash her hair, it's not with that shampoo.
And for that, it actually makes me more mad, because if you're signing an influencer, then it's not truly just a face. It's not a model. Like, a lot of them look like models, but then you really want someone that, like,
you
makes
want the
content, uses it, is authentic with their followers. Mm-hmm. Like, something maybe just did a lot, you know, she did her fashion line. You're like, I feel like she might wear that. You know, like, it has to, like, make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just sign them on and they're just...
It's interesting that you bring her up. That's
why
all
is that?
I'll say.
Okay. Did she have a hairline back in the day? I don't know.
So, just digress for a minute. There's been an Instagram influencer thing happening for the last maybe year, where girls in our industry and influencers, whatever, have been posting that they're back in their hashtag non-stretch high-waist jeans like 15 minutes after having a baby.
Oh.
And again, as someone who does not like to be quiet and likes to get herself in trouble, I responded on my own Instagram with some snarky comments about that. But the truth behind it is, it's a really dangerous message to send your followers, who are all young women. Mm. Why would you brag about something like that when it's so unrealistic? I am naturally thin. Mm. I was not back in my skinny, high-waisted, non-stretch jeans for a very long time. It made me feel bad.
Yeah.
And of all the things I feel bad about, and there's so many, that wasn't something I was worried about until I saw that. I was like, wow, it took me months and months. And I saw there was a beauty person who did it. I unfollowed her.
Yeah. Do you think they even think about who's following them and how it could affect
them? I think they're drunk on attention.
And
they'll
get a lot of likes, and it'll be...
Social media is like the best and worst form of validation.
I never thought about that. Like, even it is bragging. I was like, why are you saying it's bragging? But then it is kind of... Like, otherwise, why would you do it?
Just don't...
Keep it to yourself.
We can see. I have eyes.
You don't have to be... Because I also don't like when people are like self-deprecating for no reason other than like, I'm one of you. I'm self-deprecating.
Right.
How about we just, like, talk about what's going on in the government, or, like, what snacks you had last night for dinner? I don't know.
I found that really triggering as somebody in our industry, seeing these girls, knowing what their followings are and who. I just felt like, really? What kind of, like, brag about your accomplishments, but, like, I don't know if – I don't think
it's like a new thing.
I've
seen other things. I'm like, I didn't even know to be have a self-esteem problem about this particular issue until you see someone say the positive – like the thigh gap thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, I was totally cool with my thighs, but now I realize I don't have a thigh gap. Is this a thing?
Like, I couldn't get them. It was three or four people who did it, and I unfollowed all of them.
Good for you. And that brings it back to when you sign on a spokesperson mm-hmm. or a brand activist or whatever. You get the good and the bad that comes along with it. And so I have a feeling it's going to continue because I don't think you do too.
Yeah, because we love rich, pretty people. And whether they're true celebrities with the big C or, you know, celebrities to their followers.
Yeah.
I mean, it all goes back to why are the Kardashians famous? Like when we get excited.
Oh my God, you have a tab on people.com. It's like style, fashion, Kim Kardashian. Yeah. Has that always been?
I don't know. It just showed up on.
Because people just want to know what's going on.
You don't know how many family dinners, not my immediate family because they're over it, but like holiday dinners or Rosh Hashanah dinners where I get personally attacked as if I made Kim Kardashian famous. I don't even watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you guys. I just have to keep up with them.
No.
All made them famous.
You're giving the people what they want.
They did the opposite of actual celebrities. They let us into everything. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we felt like we knew them. Same thing with influencers.
Yeah.
It's the anti-celebrity, but you were elevating them and we're putting them on a different, you know, category. So I do think the celebrity spokesperson thing is going to continue, and influencers.
Okay.
Even ones who don't wear makeup will put makeup partnerships with them.
Or they'll do makeup remover, whatever. Thanks for your like insider knowledge. I feel like it helps people understand how the machine works. I like it.
It's crazy. But we try really, really hard to do everything right.
Yeah.
You never, like, it's such a huge audience. You have so many eyeballs. You just don't want to get it wrong.
You're not the Daily Mail. I get it. Okay, so it's time to raise a wand. Are you excited about this?
I am.
Okay. I'm always worried that like people are like, raise a wand, I'm over it. But I'm glad you're excited. What are you raising a wand to?
So there's this jewelry line that I love. It's really affordable. Mm-hmm. And it's called Electric Picks. Mm-hmm. And
like P-I-C-K-S.
Yes.
Okay.
And she makes great jewelry. And I buy it every year for my team as a Christmas gift.
Oh my God, you're the
bracelets,
best boss.
Cute little things that like I think it's, you know, goes with their personality. But she's very on trend, and this fall she's doing these coins.
Okay.
So she sent me a coin necklace.
Coins are hot for fall.
She sent me two. I gave one to Brittany, who sits across from me because I love her, and she's very on trend too.
Oh.
So we each are wearing them. Mine is it's a vintage gold coin. This is amazing. An 18th century gambling token used in underground roulette clubs across London during the reign of Queen Victoria. So there's a historical element.
That's right. We're learning.
We're learning. But I just think it looks great. Like, I've worn it now for 4 days straight, and I think it makes every outfit look cooler.
I'm remembering there was, like, a Roman coins. I feel like it was Dolce & Gabbana, like in the 90s or something. It was, like, really cool to have, like, a gold coin
bracelet. Yeah, and you can layer them. You can wear, like, two or three. But I could have had two, but I gave one away.
But then it means something, too.
Yeah, I like it. I like, you know.
So you're, like, a gambler.
Yeah, totally.
Which one did Brittany get? Do you remember?
I don't know. The one that I didn't like. No.
Brittany's over there with like the one that looked Nazi coin. Yeah.
The one that looked vaguely religious and Jesus-y.
No, it's fine. We love you, Brittany. I don't even know who that is. Okay, my turn. You ready? I'm going to introduce you all.
Nazi coin.
Sorry. Do you know this brand Girl Undiscovered?
I do not. So this is so exciting.
Okay. It's from New Zealand. It's this quote unquote natural brand, but they are fine. And I was like, ugh, more wildflowers for my face. I'm not into it. And the face mask, honestly, I can't get behind a lot of this sheet masking trend. I feel like
I hate sheet masks.
It's cold and wet, and my skin doesn't look any better. The SK2 one, yes, my skin looks better, but not many others. This mask, mm-hmm. however, I don't know what it does, but you just look like kind of pinker and glowier and tighter and plumper, like all of it all at once when you use it. So it's got in it. I just looked this up because I didn't actually know. And now that I'm reading this, I'm like, have I raised a wand to this before? But whatever. Burmese Tanaka, which is a tree root, coconut oil, Oh, New Zealand Kanuka honey. We talked about honey.
Love a honey.
Honey's great. It's illuminating.
Just not when it's dribbled over my body with shredded with carrots.
I'm never going to forget that. So it has like this orangey color and you put it on, let it dry for 10 minutes and then you sort of moisten it and scrub and then rinse off.
How did you find out about this? I love a discovery story.
Indie Beauty Expo, which is a much classier version of like a big beauty show. So it's a lot of these little brands, which means half of them are like literally shredded carrots in a jar.
Right.
But the ones that are good, I always feel like are really well
done.
And
this was Girl?
Girl Undiscovered. And they just, they're at Urban Outfitters. Like, it doesn't feel very like Anthropology, yes. Urban Outfitters.
Yeah.
And they're starting to get more distribution in the States because, damn it, the products work. So I don't know how much your necklace was, but this mask is $45.
$68.
So you could get necklace or a mask for the same amount of money. You decide. No, those are like, it's not unreasonable, but.
That's why I love it. Her jewelry, like. I don't spend money on jewelry.
I mean, that looks like a nice piece of jewelry.
Yeah, I don't spend money. Sorry, girls, your holiday gifts were not that expensive. It's just not – I don't buy myself fancy jewelry, but I do love stuff like this. So
I do love a Victorian-era gambling coin. Who does that?
Yeah.
Andrea, so fun. Thank you for coming on Fat Mascara.
So fun. I hope Jessica stays away long, long time. Just embrace Germany. It loves you, and I'll be here for you. I'll hold the podcast nice and warm until you get back.
Love it.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.